Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm Tyler Wall, and today we are continuing this series of episodes called Shine Your Light, where we talk to Christians who are or have been in different career fields. I'm excited about my guest today. Daniel Ingram is the minister at the Helman Hudson Church of Christ in Altus, Oklahoma, but also worked in the insurance world and also played a little ball in his college years. It's going to be a great conversation. Buckle up, everyone. This is Road Trips. Daniel Ingram, welcome to the show.
Tyler, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good. Thanks for coming on.
Well, I appreciate you having me, man. I'm really excited to be a part of this, and I like what you're doing, and hopefully I can share something that might be beneficial to somebody out there.
Absolutely.
I don't have very much knowledge, but I don't mind what little I do have. So
I'm sure it's more than you think. Hey, well, for our listeners, before we get going, I guess a fun fact is I was the ring bearer at your wedding. That's just for our listeners to know. So there's that special connection there.
Yes, you did a very good job. We didn't trust you with the ring, obviously, but you walked down the aisle pretty well. And you got to the end. You didn't make too big of a scene, so good job.
Yeah, it was a great day. Great day. So you played... You played a little baseball during your time in college. What was that like? And what was it like being a Christian in that college athletic environment?
Well, I was very blessed to be able to play a little college baseball. I know a lot of people don't get that opportunity. And so I was able to do that. I came to Western Oklahoma State College and played 2 years. And then went to Southeastern Oklahoma State University and got to play. I only played 1 year there because I decided I was going to get married. And so after my junior year, I hung them up and got married to actually your cousin. And the rest is history on that deal. But baseball, it really was a blessing to me as far as being able to play that in college. It was, once you get to that level, it's almost like a job. It paid for my college. So I was able to pocket some money, and just as far as the baseball side of it, it taught me a lot of really good things that I was blessed to be able to do. It taught me, you know, work ethic, teamwork, how to handle adversity. It taught me how to lead and work towards a common goal with people. And so it's helped me in a lot of different areas of life. And I still have a lot of good connections through baseball, a lot of good buddies that I played ball with most of my life. And so I was blessed to have that opportunity. But one of the things about college baseball and really college in general, my drinking team had a baseball problem. Morality is as far as some of the things that go on in college or go on in baseball. I mean, just the baseball side of it was great, but not everybody has the same moral fabric or moral ideology. And so sometimes being a Christian, that atmosphere is difficult. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't perfect in everything that I did. But I think what helped me was when I was being recruited by colleges coming out of high school, one of the things that I told them is I didn't want to play baseball. I didn't want to actually play on Sundays or Wednesdays. And some of the colleges, that was the majority of their games. I think there's two of them that they played 2/3 of their games on Sundays or Wednesdays. And so I had to tell those colleges no. But Western, Kurt Russell worked with me on that deal. And that really helped me just coming in with just kind of a coach who knows kind of what you stand for. He knows that this is a big part of your life. It's not just church or going to church, but just that this is, I mean, having a church family, being involved in religious activities. Faith is a big deal to me. And so I had a coach that would work with me on that. And Russell did that. And I was very blessed by that. But as far as playing baseball and just the everyday life of a baseball player, I mean, you wake up, you go play ball. Or you wake up, we had practices in the morning, we had our classes, we had practice all afternoon, and then you go eat supper, and then you practice again at night. And so there wasn't a whole lot of downtime, but there was late nights or late evenings, and just hanging out, college guys hanging out. But I remember some of the things that a lot of my friends were baseball players, and they just didn't have the same moral fabric or the ideology that I had. A lot of vulgarity, sexuality, immorality, it was just a part of the atmosphere. Party scene, girls, that type of thing. I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize how bad it was until after I had stepped away from it for a year or so. And then I brought Chanel to a baseball game at Southeastern, and I went to the dugout talking to some of the guys, and I was almost ashamed that I had my wife with me because of the things, how they just talked, and something that I'd just grown used to through 3 years of playing college baseball. But no, at Western and at Southeastern, I was kind of known as a goody-goody or a church boy. That's what some of the guys would call me. They would kind of make fun if I didn't participate in things like a party, if I didn't go to a party, or if I wasn't involved in something that they want to be involved in. But over time, honestly, I felt like I gained respect and I was respected by my teammates, and I appreciated that. They might poke fun at me, make some jokes, but ultimately I quit getting invited to things. And then, you know, before they would say something or do something, they would be thoughtful of kind of where I was at. But I just felt like my boundaries were respected over time because I held to my convictions on things, and I didn't talk the same way that they did. And like I said, there were times that I didn't always make the best decision or let my light shine as I should have. But for the most part, I felt like I had respect from my teammates and my coaches and my faith and my following of Jesus. And, you know, now what's interesting about it, I was thinking about college baseball, is I live in the town and minister in the town that I went to college. I see people at Walmart that I went to college with. And I tell Chanel all the time, I'm like, man, there's some decisions I could have made that I think I would have regretted that really would have hurt my life, my ministry now. They're like, man, that guy's a preacher in Altus, Oklahoma. And I was very fortunate, and maybe wise is the word, that I didn't make some decisions that could hurt my life in the long run, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good story and a good testament to you holding on to your faith and how important that is. And I talked to my friend Caleb, who was a college student, and we talked about character, and I asked him kind of the importance of saying the word no when it comes to maintaining your character. And it seems like that's something that you had to do as well, being on a college team. You know, you have to say the word no, and you have to hold fast to your convictions. And that's important that you did that, and it's helped your ministry in the long run. And that's a good thing. So that kind of brings me into my next question. And you've kind of touched on this, but maybe some specific things. What were some things you did throughout your time in college playing baseball that helped you maintain your faith?
I think probably one of the biggest things that I did, and I just committed myself to it, and it seemed so cliche, but it was something that is how I was raised and held on to it through college as to the best of my ability. And that is, I committed to going to church. I believe surrounding yourself, it's not just about sitting in a pew. It's not just about going and doing church or doing the legalistic things of church. It's being a part of a church family and being in a culture that loves and serves God and wants to hold to His righteousness. And even when I wasn't feeling it, even when it might have been difficult, I committed to going to church, especially if I was in my hometown. I committed to going to church. I made it my routine. I went to class. I went to Bible classes. I went to Wednesday nights. I was involved with church events outside of church whenever I was free. Kind of mentioned my baseball schedule. It was 8 hours a day, baseball, give or take. But I remember being in a Wednesday night college class, and there's like four of us in this college class here at Altus. And I remember, you know, it was a late night, and then just studying and cramming stuff, and then played baseball all day long and showed up to class. I fell asleep near the whole class. I couldn't stay awake. But just being a part of that atmosphere and being there and being connected to other Christians, that is something that really helped me, because it would have been easy for me to just been tired, not gone, not made a priority, and then begin to drift just because of the culture that I was in the majority of my time in, surrounding baseball, and it wasn't the most godly atmosphere. And so I made that a priority. I tried to hang out with friends that had the same convictions that I did. Usually on our baseball team, what I've come to realize in every setting is everyone sees themselves as Christians. They proclaim that they love Jesus, that Jesus is their king. But sometimes, and I'm not saying that we're all perfect with this, but sometimes they live something completely opposite, or they don't surrender Him in every area. But I tried to surround myself with guys who really wanted to live rightly in the eyes of God. And so I had some really good friendships here at Western. And then when I went to Southeastern, I actually lived with, it's a funny story, a good buddy of mine, Waddell Hearn. I lived with him, and I guess he wanted to make money. And so he had three other guys. At one time, there's five guys living in a three-bedroom house when I was at Southeastern. We were all Christians, and we had Bible studies, and that was a true blessing. I think that was something that really strengthened my faith, because I lived with those guys. We went to church together. We went to college devos, you know, two or three times a week. And so just having those relationships really, really helped me, really spur me on to hold on to my faith and to live in view of God. And so it actually was easier at Southeastern. I had some good friendships at Western. The majority of my friends were baseball players, but I've actually got some people that worship with us here at Elman Hudson that I went to college with, and that was my connection with them. And they were a blessing to me as well. But just things of surrounding yourself with people who want to live by faith in Jesus and surrender to Him. And that really helps you and spurs your faith along as well.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying before that question, the first question, where, you know, when you're standing up for your faith and when you're having to put that stake in the ground and say, this is where I draw the line, these are my values, this is who I want to be, it can kind of make you feel like you're alone in that. And so being a part of that Christian community, attending worship and doing things outside of worship with your church family can help you feel less alone in your faith and to help you spur one another on, as the verse says, to help us grow in our faith. And that's just kind of what I got out of what you were saying. In a place where it's not very popular to live righteously and to maintain that character and to shine your light, having that sense of community can help you feel less alone in that place where you were at. And so I think that that's really important for us as young adults. And if a Christian college athlete is listening, to plug in and to be a part of that community. And it's important throughout all of our lives, even as you get older. So what advice would you give to a Christian college athlete? What would you tell them?
I think the first thing I would tell them is let your Christianity define your athleticism. You know, sometimes that's an oxymoron, Christian athlete, but don't be an athlete first. And I think just something that I wanted to commit myself to was I want people to see my Christianity above them seeing me as just a baseball player. The reality of it is if you're an athlete and you're going to go play in college, that's great. You have some great opportunities, but that part of your life will change. And that is a reality that you're not going to play baseball for the rest of your life. You can't define your life by it. Most people, when they get into college, they realize this is actually a lot. This is a lot more serious than what high school was, or it's more like a job. And so a lot of people, they may hold on to it, but it will change. And so if you let your life be determined by being an athlete, there's going to come a day when you're not one anymore. And if you've built your whole life around it, you lose a lot of your identity. So be a Christian first, and just choose that in your life. Something kind of going back to the last question, something I had to do when I was in high school, and it's a silly little story. Looking back at it now, my 17-year-old self, I can remember that after a baseball game in high school, there's four or five of my high school buddies that they actually were going to go to a party, and there's a lot of people from school going to go to a party. I don't know what was going on at the party, but I just remember I didn't get invited to it. A little bit, feelings were hurt, but I had a sit down with myself and just said, it's okay that I didn't get invited to this. I probably couldn't have participated in some of the things going on or all the things going on. And I just have to be okay being different. And so another thing I would say is just embrace being different, embrace being, not being accepted, not being invited. It's okay. It's okay. And I just told myself that day, I'm just going to be me, and I'm not going to let anybody else try to define me or try to move me, but just committing to standing your ground. But as a college athlete, you have to be okay with being different or being left out, so with not getting involved in some of the fun or the pleasure. One of the pulls, I was blessed that I met Chanel my sophomore year in college, and I knew pretty close into the start of our relationship that she's somebody that I'd like to marry, and ended up marrying her. But you, not everybody gets that. And one of the big pulls, and I'm just being honest here, one of the big pulls and being a college athlete is you know, the attention you get from girls. I mean, that's just it. The attention you get from student body, and you just have to be okay not getting that. And because not all the attention that you're going to get is a healthy type of attention. And so be okay not getting invited, not being a part of that scene of pleasures or what would be considered fun. And it's okay. It's okay not to have that fun. There's a lot of decisions. Again, there's a lot of things that I could have done for fun that I think I would really regret in my older years of life. And so the last two things I would say, if I was just giving advice to a Christian athlete, is surround yourself with Christians, true Christians. And what I mean by that is people who are surrendering to Christ. It's one thing to say that Christ is King. It's another thing to follow him. And so surround yourself with people who make you better and a better follower of Jesus Christ. But then the last thing, and again, it's simple, but it's easy as a athlete to lose focus of this because of the busy, make church a priority. Make being with Christians, wherever Christians meet, make that a priority. Create a rhythm in your life of being with Christians and studying the Word of God. And I think if you can do those things, it will really bless your life immensely.
Yeah, you said a lot of good stuff there. And I kind of want to go back to what you were saying there at the beginning. We tend to put things in a box or in separate little cubbies, like how you have in elementary school. Here I've got my job. Here I've got my school. Here I've got my relationships. And then over here is my faith. When in reality, and kind of like what you were saying, your faith should just encompass all of that. Everything should be about your faith. You're not an athlete and a Christian. You're a Christian athlete. You're not a teacher and a Christian. You're a Christian teacher. Everything we do as Christians is within the context of us trying to follow Christ. And then embracing being different. That's such a hard thing to do. And I'm sure, you know, looking back on it, you may be thinking, well, that wasn't too bad. That wasn't so hard. But at the time, like you were saying, when you were 17, it does hurt. And in the moment, it does kind of sting a little bit. But, you know, we're reminded in 1 Peter 2:9 that we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And I like the King James Version that says we're a peculiar people. In other words, you know, we are different. And if we're not different, if our lives don't look any different than the world, to your point, then there's something that we may need to change. There's something that we do need to change and kind of what you have been talking about surrounding yourself with Christians, embracing that Christian community. So switching gears a bit, I kind of just want to ask you the same things, but you worked in the insurance world before ministry, which I don't know anything about, but I really just want to ask you a couple questions about this area of your life. What was it like being a Christian in that specific career field?
Well, I'll be honest with you, man. I worked at a really good office. I had some really good bosses. I worked with some really good people. I worked with some really ethical people who respected everyone who came in the door, who took care of people's needs. It wasn't about money. It was a great work atmosphere. I worked with a lot of Christians, and I was very blessed. I think God took care of me on placing me where he placed me. I worked in an office where the guys prayed together. But just the insurance business as a whole was really good to me. If it wasn't for some circumstances in life that I felt like I needed to come be the preacher down in Hudson, I'd still be doing insurance. I really enjoyed it. I got to play a lot of golf. I don't get to do that much anymore. But as far as insurance, there's a lot of stigma around the insurance business. I know a lot of good dudes, but also I know a lot of the guys that I probably wouldn't do business with personally. But one of the things about just working in that office, I was just blessed because that's what they promoted was you are a Christian first. And we want that those convictions to come out in how you do, how you take care of people and how you do business here with us. And so very blessed. I may have been in, you know, I know people in insurance that's not the atmosphere. I know people in all works, all, you know, work atmospheres that's not it. And so I was very fortunate to have that. But there again, working office where your faith it does define the majority of people in that office. That was a huge blessing to me. And I think it flowed in how we did business. There's, you know, in every business setting, there's maybe somebody who had a bad teacher, that teacher, you know, was burned out or whatever it was. And so now they just don't like teachers because of one teacher. That's kind of how insurance can be. There were a lot of people who struggle with insurance agents because they like, you know, I had this guy and I felt like he didn't take care of me or he was all about money. And you know, there's always a black there. But as far as that office, I felt like it was a group of people really trying to serve Christ, really trying to do right by God and by people. And so it was a great place to work.
That's awesome. Glad you had that experience and that you were able to shine your light and that it was a good, positive work environment for you. It's something that we all hope for. So what are some ways you maintain your faith and try to look like Jesus at your workplace in insurance?
One of the things that I prided myself on was just taking care of people. And again, I think that was the culture of the office. One of the things that's easy to do because you are commission-based when you sell insurance and is to see people as money or see people as objects or see people as the means to an end. And that can happen from time to time. But one of the things that I really try to do is care about people. One of the things that I kind of prided myself on is we had people that were belligerent that would come in, like maybe they hadn't paid a bill, their insurance was canceled, maybe something had happened with a claim that they didn't go the way they thought, and they would come in angry. And one of the things I was actually pretty good at, and I enjoyed doing it actually, is I would come in, I kind of diffused them a little bit and helped them to understand maybe what explained something, calm them down a little bit. But I feel like I showed love to people in that work environment and how I talked to them, even in the integrity of, it's easy to, you know, just do things money-based, but just taking care of people. Actually, in that office, it wasn't a big deal if somebody maybe had a Bible question and break out a Bible and maybe even have a Bible study, you know, but I was actually able to bring one of my coworkers to Christ through a Bible study there at the office. And it was something that they were just continually asking questions. And so we started studying about Jesus and his will for our lives. And so just, again, atmosphere allowed me to do it. But just living in a way and everyday decisions that where somebody said, hey, I want to know more about this. And I think that was some things that I was able to do, some decisions that I made that blessed my life. And I hope it blessed my coworkers there at the insurance office.
Yeah. So basically you helped influence people by your words. You were having intentional conversations with people and you weren't afraid to let your light shine and ended up bringing someone to Jesus, but also just by your example and the way you conducted yourself and the way you didn't blow up, you didn't get angry, you didn't feed into what the world so often wants us to feed into. And that's the anger. And that's the outrage that you see so often in our world today. And we as Christians, we don't need to feed into that. We need to be the peace. We need to be the peacemakers as Jesus talks about, and to be that kind answer and that soft answer. And it seems like that's what you were able to do. And that's a great thing to be in the workplace. And that's a great way to shine your light. And also, taking care of people. And what I think about is just seeing them as souls, seeing them as people of whom Jesus died for. And when you're working in insurance, you're helping people in a way, in a big way. And you can use that to help shine your light. Like I said earlier, you know, sometimes we tend to think of our faith and our work as two separate things, when in reality, they're joined together if we allow them to be. And I think that's something that we can take from this conversation and something that we can use in our lives. So last question, same thing I asked about baseball or college athletics. Someone comes up to you, they want to enter the insurance field. What are you going to tell them?
Well, I think it's any field. You know, one of the things that I've got three boys, and one of the things that I tell them is, hey, don't live your life or don't live just for humans or in light of human beings, you live it in light of God. And everything that you work at, You know, we know what Paul said, that everything you do with your hands, work as if you're working for God, not for man. And so whatever profession you find yourself in, realize that you're accountable to God above anything and everything, because man may not be able to see what you do or how you're doing business, but God does. And it affects that mindset alone. If you do everything for the glory of God, that mindset alone will change how you do business in your life, no matter what work area you're in. And so the first thing I'd say is just glorify God. And everything that you do, you are portraying the God of the universe to the rest of the world. If you proclaim that you are a Christian, then you are saying that I am a child of God, I'm a follower of Jesus, and you actually represent God and Jesus into the world. And so to hold that name as Christian is actually a huge responsibility that we have as his children, to shine God in the right light in the world's eyes. And so glorify God in everything that you do. Just glorify God. And know what that means. Just make God big. Make God big. And so in the way that you do business, make God big. The words that you say, something that we just talked about, but the words that you say, the attitude that you have, you know, it's easy. It's easy if somebody blows up. It's easy if someone's angry. It's easy if, you know, there was a deal that a guy didn't pay a bill when he was supposed to. And the way the insurance company did it is it was actually on me. I think it cost me about $600. And it was just one of those things when I probably should have wrote the insurance on the guy, but he just didn't pay the second. I don't remember how it all worked out now, but it came back on me. And but how you respond to that makes a difference, even with the people that you work with. But you got to respect people. And how you respect people goes a long way. I've learned through a lot of different avenues that if you respect people where they're at, they reciprocate that with respect. Even if somebody doesn't respect you at first, if you disrespect them, trying to kind of come back at them, then it kind of spirals out of control. And so respect, show respect. And the way you do business, the way you view money, it all gives people perspective of kingdom life and what it means to live in the kingdom of God, right? One of the things that I wrote down that I write it in different places so I remember is love people and use stuff. Love people and use stuff, and don't get those things switched. And sometimes when you're working on commission, and sometimes when, you know, the more people that you have, maybe the more money that you make, sometimes the thing that happens within our minds is we begin to use people and love stuff, or go after people to get their stuff. And I mean that like not necessarily in a bad way, or stealing their stuff. I'm just saying, you know, approaching people with the reality that I'm just doing this to make money off of them. It's kind of like what you said a while ago, people have souls. And we need to see people as souls that are created in the image of God, and that God is working in their lives to bring about something greater than what we see in this world. And so think souls. One of the things that, if anybody's listening, they're already in sales, they know this. There are things that you do as an insurance agent that kind of build a bridge between you and people. One of the things that I would do is I would actually go watch sporting events of kids, so that especially people who I wanted their business. So I would do things that would build a relationship to where maybe one day if they were ever looking, or maybe if they wanted to do something with insurance, or just building a relationship where I could write their insurance and take care of them and also provide for my family. And so there were a lot of decisions that I made in pursuit of people. I mean, some of it was years, three or four years of approaching, of building that relationship for a goal of writing their insurance, of them being a customer and again, taking care of them. But what I've realized is, and now that I'm a preacher, is I really do the exact same thing, is pursuing people with the goal of connecting them to God one day. And I feel like I could have done better with that in insurance to an extent. I did okay, but probably not as good as I could have. But I do that today preaching. There's conversations that I have. There's things that I go to where I'm not trying to downplay this, but it is a sales mentality. That there are things that I do in people's lives that I'm trying to build a bridge so that one day they might can be connected to God. So view your work atmosphere as such, and especially if you're in something like sales, because you're going to connect yourself to people. And if you're taking care of people, you're loving people, you're doing what's right by people, respecting people, they're going to see something different and that relationship, that work relationship, can turn into something greater where you show them the glory of God, connect them to Him. And so that would probably be my advice, is just think souls in every area of your life. I mean, there is a reality that we need to go into all the world and we need to draw people to God. And so really keep that forefront in your minds.
Yeah, you said a lot of great things there. And I love the phrase think souls. And also kind of like what you were saying at the beginning, what I get out of that is just be God's messenger, be the ambassador, I guess, of Jesus that we're called to be. Because not only people are watching, but also most importantly, God is watching. And like you said, if we claim to be a follower of Christ, then our lives have to reflect that. And so that's so important, especially in the workplace where we spend so much of our time, and where we, especially in your job that you had, you interact with people so much. And I'm sure it is easy, especially being commission based, to just want more people, just so you can, you know, make more money or make profit. But instead, viewing them as people is always, and as souls created in the image of God and someone that Jesus died for, is always the route to go, especially as Christians. And as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, I bet this has helped him in his ministry. And you answer my question. So, hey, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Daniel.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me. And I had a lot of fun doing this. And again, hopefully shared something that will connect with somebody and maybe help somebody out in the future. But it's been great. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening to another edition of Road Trips.